Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. They are our newest members of our family of independents who dispense terrific advice on books to pick up and enjoy. So it's a thrill to welcome them back. This morning, the folks from the Chatham Bookstore join us to present a fine list of books for these days of late summer, early fall. We welcome Nicole Ferney and Diane Ortman. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
A delight. And Diane, this is your first time here.
So yes,
we thank you very much
for
coming in. So you have a wonderful list. Where would you like to begin?
I would like to start this morning with a nonfiction, The World is a Carpet by Anna Batkin. The author lives for 1 year in northern Afghanistan among a Turkoman tribe, and here we find 40 doorless huts tucked on an edge of a sand dune sea, and this Turkoman tribe is called the Rembrandts of Weaving, and the author is for 1 year among this family to witness how this beautiful carpet is coming into being. And they are called this because of their rich palettes of all the reds and mahoganies and terracottas. And the weaving of a carpet is central to their lives, and it really takes a whole village to make this carpet. And Manala walks through the villages to buy and barter for yarn, and he's even able to find his way through the sandstorms to back to his hut. What is very moving to read is how this carpet becomes like a biography of a year, like an artisan's diary. Let me read to you this one little passage.
Please do.
Plucking the strung wool like a harpist. Thora's carpet, like each carpet ever woven by a woman's hand, will be subtly different. It will be hers alone, her future autobiography, her diary of a year, her winter count with its sorrowful zigzags and its daydreamy curlicues, loops of melancholy and knots of joy. So this loom, as we can visualize, is standing in the middle of a loom room on a dirt floor with all the animals around her. And the distractions of life become mistakes quite unintentionally. And as an infant cries, the blossoms on the carpet are left unfinished. And the merchant who is now going to buy this carpet will actually say that this is unique, and he welcomes the mistakes, because any carpet without mistakes is actually not worth anything.
It is World is a Carpet by Anna Batkin. It is published by Penguin.
Penguin, that's right.
Next.
Okay, next we're doing The Daughters of Mars, which is a historical nonfiction novel written by Thomas Keneally. He is the Australian author who is most famous for writing the book Schindler's Ark, which became the movie Schindler's List. And the title is a reference to Mars is the god of war. And in this title, he's taking us to World War I. We are traveling there with two Australian sisters. They're trained nurses, and they enlist in the Australian Army Nursing Service. It's very beautifully written. It's historically accurate, and it was inspired by the journals of Australian nurses.
Mm.
Yeah, so we are with the Durant sisters for the entirety of the war. So we are with them at Gallipoli, where, of course, many of their countrymen were slaughtered. And we also follow them all the way to the Western Front, where they are where they're, you know, working with men that have been gassed and shell-shocked. And, of course, you know, the final insult of World War I was the Spanish flu. So they really see it all. And I have to say that as I was reading this, one of the powers that Keneally has are his descriptive powers. And I felt like I was right there with the nurses, and I could see the characters. I knew what they looked like. I knew what they were going through. And as you go through the war and the tension builds, and it's quite a powerful book. And I think a lot of people will want to read this book just to kind of remember World War One as we, of course, are coming across the centennial of World War One.
Right.
So
it is. I love his writing. Gorgeous stuff.
It's, you almost feel like you can see the film in your head already.
Thomas Keneally is the author of the new book, Daughters of Mars. It is published by Simon and Schuster.
Cool. Now we have a young adult book, again a memoir, which is called The Boy on the Wooden Box. And this is also about the Holocaust, like Diane's book. This is written by Leon Lason. And Leon was the youngest child on the Schindler's List, working in the factory. He lived his first 8 years carefree in Poland until the beginning of World War II. And I think this is really an important book, as all the events of the Holocaust are here described from the perspective of a 10-year-old boy. And the Holocaust is often introduced during eighth grade. And I can really highly recommend this for that age.
Boy on the Wooden Box. It is written by Leon Lason. I assume it's
Leon Lason. Lason. Yeah.
Published by Simon and Schuster, as well.
Yep.
Now let us talk about a book that I have read nothing but great reviews about. I find fascinating, and I can't wait to read it. I actually have it a copy of it in on audio on my front seat of my car, and that is Burial Rites by Hannah Kent.
Yes. Okay. So Hannah Kent is another Australian author. This is her first novel, and she has certainly hit it out of the park. I think we are going to see great things from her. This novel is another historical fiction novel. It takes place in 1829 in Northern Iceland. And it is the it's a story based on Agnes Magnusdóttir, if I got that right.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I was hoping you would know.
Yeah, no, I don't, but I haven't listened to the audiobook yet.
Oh, okay. All right. So get back to me on that.
Yeah. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she was the last person that was executed in Iceland. And at the time, Iceland was still a colony of Denmark. And instead of spending the money to bring the trial and the convicted prisoner back to Denmark, they decided to let the Icelandic population handle it. And the convicted murderess was sent to live with a family of good Christian values, that she could find God again while she was awaiting her execution. These were real people. There was a real family that took her in. She worked beside them. She ate with them. And these were poor farmers. They lived in sod huts, and they often slept together in one room. So she worked, lived, and slept with this family. And the other interesting character was the Reverend in training, who was assigned to be her spiritual guider during her final days. And when I was searching for a word that I felt connected me to this book, I came up with atmospheric. You're thinking about Northern Iceland, the darkness, the winters, the gray leaden skies. And as we here are going into fall and it's getting a little grayer and darker, this is a really wonderful book to just get on the couch.
Even more depressed.
Get under a blanket and just jump in and be with these people and how they grapple with, you know, someone who they think is going to be the monster amongst them, but who actually turns out to have a very human side and is a very sympathetic character.
I love books about Iceland, first of all, every review that I've read talked about how Iceland is such a character in this.
It's a complete character, and I think that's why atmosphere came to mind for me when I was reading it, and I happened to be reading it on a gray day as well. So
Stuff.
It was all good. Yeah.
It's Burial Rites.
Rainy day read.
Yes, Burial Rites by Hannah Kent. It's published by Hachette. Next up.
The last one is here is called Snow Hunters by Paul Yoon. It's a fiction. Paul Yoon also wrote a short story collection, Once the Shore.
Mm-hmm.
The Snow Hunters begins at the end of the Korean War, and Johan is a refugee that makes his way to Brazil on a cargo ship. And he has no ties left at all in Korea, apart from a letter of employment with a tailor in Brazil. And so his life starts new there. So we go now back and forth from Korea to Brazil, where he tries to make a new life. And everyone he meets is very scarred by life. But the beautiful part of this prose in this book is that they all find joy in the very small kindnesses to each other. The book is filled with very small little gems like that. So it is all about second chances. It is very powerful in its brevity.
It yeah. is Snow Hunters by Paul Yoon, published by Simon & Schuster. Mm-hmm. And then you have one more.
We do have one more. It's another young adult juvenile book. It's called Wonder. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is I noticed that it was on my seventh grader's reading list, and it was also on my fourth grader's reading list for this school year.
That's
so
cool.
That caught my interest. And it's rare that you find a book that can span that many ages.
Absolutely.
In this day and age. So it's about a 10-year-old boy who has a very severe facial deformity. And he's been fairly sheltered up until this point in his life. He's been homeschooled. But his parents decide that it's time for him and that he's ready for mainstream school. It's told by the children in the book. It's told by August, who's the main character, and his sister, and the children that come into contact with him. I love the fact that there's no adult narrative in the novel. They're sort of tangential. And it's a wonderful novel about choosing kindness. Mm. And, you know, even if you make a mistake, you can do better the next time. As children make mistakes, a lot of the adults make mistakes in dealing with this boy, but you can get it right in the end.
The book is Wonder. It is by R.J. Palacio, and it's published by Random House. For more information on the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York, you can visit them at 27 Main Street in Chatham. And that really is the best way to find out more. Go see them. Be in the comforting embrace of great booksellers and great books. 27 Main Street in Chatham. And visit them online if you wish, chatham-bookstore.com. And Nicole and Diane, I thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure. Have a wonderful fall.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.